Hello and welcome to the Context Machine, episode number 579. I'm your co-host, Brian Chaffin.
And I'm your other co-host, Jeff Gamet. And hey, as a reminder, contextmachine.io is alive and well.
And?
Needs a little sprucing up, but it's there. Yeah, I'm still talking. Brian.
Plus, okay. You can use contextmachine.io to reach out to us or Twitter at contextmachine. See, that's how it goes, Jeff. You take the words, they're on the script, and then you say the words. And then when you run out of the words, then you don't say more words. That's how this works.
Also, today's episode is sponsored by Collide.
I will tell you more about them later in the show. Not that anyone's going to be around to listen at that point. So we thought today we'd do something timely. We did something timely last week, but then it took me a week to post it.
Our hearts were in the right place.
Sure. Let's go with that. But we're going to talk about 1Password 8, which came out yesterday as of this recording. Is that right?
Yes, believe so.
In a non-beta format.
In a non-beta form, correct. Yes. Yes.
And the reason why we're talking about 1Password 8 is manifold. One of the biggest ones is because Jeff and I both think that security is very important. Privacy is very important. Mm-hmm. And using a password manager, and we've talked about password managers many times, and we've talked about 1Password before. But using a password manager is key to making sure that your passwords are long, complex, and unique.
Right. And using a password manager that is secure is important as well. Because, you know, if you're keeping all your passwords, all your logins in some sort of database that someone else can easily hack, well, that's not a very good password manager.
No, it's not. Now, there are probably other good password managers out there. I personally have only used 1Password, so that's where my experience lies. I love it. That's why I end up recommending it all the time. I'm not saying that the password manager that you're using, if it's different, is bad. This is just the one that I use.
Yeah, and I have used other password managers in the past. It was a long time ago, and eventually it just became a thing where I realized I had to switch to something that was going to be more robust than what I was using, and
do you want to
so
name
I
names?
Migrated everything into 1Password, and here we go.
Do you want to name names?
I do, but I'm really having a hard time remembering because it was so long ago, and the password manager that I used just prior to 1Password, I switched because I was thinking about moving, and they were dropping support, like the product was going to get killed.
Oh.
I want to say it was like Vault Keep or something
gone,
like that. It
doesn't matter. But gone. Have you used LastPass, which is probably...
No,
it's probably even bigger than 1Password. I'm guessing. I do not know that. I don't know which actually has more customers, but I feel like 1Password is more of a more of a Mac community kind of app, and so I just assume that LastPass is bigger, even though they're both cross-platform. So there's a whole bunch of suppositions and projections and biases all thrown into that. To what I just
said.
Yeah.
Well. Okay, so one thing about 1Password that, and honestly, I have no idea which between the two has more users, but one of the things about 1Password that leads me to believe if they don't have more users today, they will soon, and it's because they have worked over the years to become more than just an individual user product, and they moved into the business space, into the corporate space. So they have a lot of corporate users. And when you have corporate users, you suddenly have a lot more installs of your product. So I don't know which one's bigger, but I'm a 1Password fan. So there you go.
Okay, well, 1Password 8 came out, and I immediately began sprinting with scissors and installed it. You know, it's funny, since Dave and I sold the Mac Observer, It is...
Wait, what?
Yeah, we did, and I am not as up to date on news as admittedly, I was sometimes not as up to date as I could have been, but I am less up to date on news. And I didn't realize that 1Password 8 had come out. But fortunately, you are Johnny on the spot, and you told me. So I immediately began running and sprinting with scissors and installed it. And there we go. So I've been using it for a good 10, 20 minutes.
Hooray. Yeah. And I've been using it longer than that because when I woke up on Tuesday the 3rd and saw the announcement all over Twitter that 1Password 8 was out of beta, well, then I ran with scissors, figuratively speaking, into my office and immediately installed it because, of course, I did.
Because of course you did.
Yeah.
Right. So one of the things that you mentioned to me, and this is why I had suggested we talk about it today, is apparently there's been some controversy over the platform that was used to roll out 1Password 8 or develop 1Password 8, which is Electron.
Yes.
And I don't know a whole lot about it. So tell us about Electron. Tell us why people are apparently pissy about this. And then let's discuss whether or not they should be.
Okay, that seems reasonable. All right, so Electron, for those of you that don't know, is it's like a cross-platform development environment. So the idea is you develop once, and then you compile individually for each platform.
So like Flash?
No, not like Flash. Flash was you write once, compile once, and then you have to have a decompiler. You have to have a tool on each platform that then knows how to use the Flash code that you've written.
And hijinks ensue.
Oh boy, howdy did they. So the way Electron works is you have a unified coding environment, and then you compile, and you're going to have an actual application file, individual application file for each platform.
By the way, I have a feeling I'm going to need to restart to reboot my Mac to make this work, and I'm trying very hard not to do it mid-show.
Well, I do appreciate that. I'd be here and I'd make a pithy comment and then there's silence and I'd be
wondering,
like,
what's going on? I mean, like, my mouse keeps wandering out towards the Apple menu. Gotta make it work. Gotta make 1Password work.
Brian.
All right, so saying Electron is not like Flash, which is reassuring, and yet there have been people that have been upset.
Yes, cranky. So what? Very cranky. So what happened when the 1Password team decided that they needed to instead of using Apple's native development tools to use Electron, they went ahead and announced just right away, hey, this is what we're doing with 1Password 8. So good on them for giving us that transparency right up front. And, you know, this was months and months ago when they made this announcement. And that upset a lot of people because they've been, in many cases, long-time 1Password users, and they felt like this was sort of a slap in the face because they've been
slap in the face to the Apple community, right?
To the Apple community,
In part because AgileBits and 1Password has always been such a strong member of the Mac and then eventually iOS family, so to speak. And so I kind of get why people might be a little cranky about them not doing a quote-unquote native app. I mean, I have often whined about companies not making native apps, but I got to tell you, man, in the in the 12 to 15 minutes or 12 to 22 minutes that I've now used this, it seems really slick.
Yeah, it's interesting because if I didn't know this was an Electron app, I would have no idea it was an Electron app. And it feels like a native Mac app. And honestly, with the interface refresh, it feels more Mac-like to me now than it did when I was using 1Password 7 2 days ago.
I very much agree with that. It feels like that, that current sort of the best of both worlds melding, lessons learned from iOS brought to Mac.
Sure.
How do you feel about that analogy?
Let's roll with it. It's great. And my feeling is use the right tool to give me the best user experience. And if it turns out that Electron is that tool, fine. And then write me an Electron app. It's fine.
You know what?
I'm
sorry. Totally being
You're totally being that guy, yeah. But that's okay because that's what we do. This is what keeps the chemistry alive. This is what draws people in. If I can't tell that I'm writing an app that wasn't written with Swift, I don't care.
Yeah, as a user,
I want the app that gives me what I need to do and doesn't get in my way.
I also beware anyone putting faith into a corporate entity or projecting too much onto a corporate entity. But AgileBits has the track record for me to trust their evaluation process for deciding that Electron was the way to go for them, for them and for their app with their coding expertise. If they're going to make this decision, I'm going to go ahead and accept that until proven otherwise, rather than the other way around.
Sure.
Regardless, I do understand people being cranky, at least.
I can appreciate that. And for some people that are saying, hey, look, 1Password won awards from Apple for their Mac native app. And now they do this. And, sure. I mean, if that bothers you, that bothers you. And that's okay. But when I look at what I've got now and I have the one thing that I have been wishing was in 1Password for years and years and years, and it's called Universal Autofill. Holy crap.
Are you saying I can use 1Password to like fill in a password on like an app?
Yes.
Like inside the app, not just in browsers?
Right. Yeah. So, let's say you're logging into Skype.
Why would it do that?
Okay, you're logging into Discord.
Discord. Okay, all right. I like this. Okay, yes. I'm trying really hard not to go do this on Discord right now because we're using Discord to record this show. All right, listen, what else could I log into? What other app could I log into? I want to try this.
Do not log out of Discord to try Zoom. You could do it with Zoom.
Oh, all right. I will log out of Zoom. Zoom.
And so what you need to do when you get that login dialogue for the app, do command backslash, and then that brings up the universal thing where you can search for the app and then let it autofill for you.
All right. So I've got to tangentialize a side railing this stuff. One, I got my Mac Studio on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Set it up on Monday. Really super happy about it. By the way, the bottom part that's perforated for airflow?
Yeah, you pulled that off, didn't you? Now the Apple perforated tag police are coming after you.
No, I'm talking about the air hole perforations.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, the bottom part of the
still. Come on, that was funny.
It was funny, very funny. Ha ha ha. it is way smaller than I was expecting it to be. Can't see it when it's sitting on my desk in front of me. So okay. like all the pictures show it like, you know, like dead on. And it looked it, in the pictures, it looks a lot bigger than it does. That part of it looks a lot bigger than it does in person.
The jokes practically write themselves. But I do recall you complaining about that before your Mac Studio arrived.
No, I didn't complain. Did I complain about it? What did I say?
Do you not remember this? Maybe not on the show.
Don't remember that. I think you're telling stories. That's right. I have to tell my mommy on you.
Okay.
Okay, by regardless. The
way, your mom likes me more.
Yes, she probably does. I went from an Intel iMac to an M1 Mac Studio, and there are apparently a few things that I'm running that require Rosetta. Turns out Trello is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Also, turns out Zoom is one of them. And right now,
really?
When I double click on the zoom.us.app, it gives me a message that to open Trello, I need to install Rosetta. So because I've said, even though I said not now and dismissed that. Are you following me there? Because I had tried to open Trello before, you know, before we started recording, tried to open Trello. So, and that's when I got the message saying I need to install Rosetta. I made the decision right then and there that I don't want to install Rosetta. Trello is supposedly an M1 version of Trello is supposedly coming out later this quarter, maybe, which baffles me why it's not already out, but whatever. And
well, you know, maybe because Apple didn't tell anyone that these were, these M1 Macs are coming out.
Yeah, it's only been a year.
Right.
I found a November post for Trello where in November, a Trello representative said, we've gotten some requests for support for M1 Max. It's like, really, really, six months ago, you've gotten really? as if it was new and as if there's no way they could have foreseen it.
Well, I mean,
yeah,
it was new. How could they possibly have foreseen this?
How could they have
foreseen it? It's not like Apple telegraphed that these computers were coming out.
For more than a year.
It's not like Apple made the tools available to developers ahead of time.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So my point is that I had already tried to open Trello and my Mac told me I needed to install Rosetta. I made that decision a few minutes ago that I'm going to try to not install Rosetta if I can. So having dismissed that, when I try to open Zoom, which apparently also needs Rosetta, the error message I'm getting is for Trello. So it's a bit of sloppiness on Apple's part for the Rosetta.
So
warning.
I can't actually verify this myself, but apparently the M1 native version of Zoom is available. And
So maybe if I could just go install that.
Yeah, so directly. There. Okay, what I just did for everyone, since now we're just making sausage and I'm doing tech support for Brian and we're calling it a podcast, I just texted him a link so he can go and download the right version of Zoom.
Okay, I like this. This is good. Zoom client for meetings, yes. Do I want to allow? Yes. Apple Silicon. Oh, no. Click here to download. Okay. We're going to do that one instead. Excellent. This is good. Things are going really well.
This is riveting content right here.
Riveting.
We're going to win a Webby for this.
Okay. Oh, I can use my, what is, I use my Apple Watch, which I had already set up. So move. Yep. Trash. Yep. That's great. And there's the Zoom app. I'm going to sign in. So what you're saying I have to do what? Backslash?
Command backslash.
Command backslash. Okay.
And you should have gotten a little pop-up where you can search for Zoom.
Huh. Okay. Yeah, but it's doing text expander, which is not what I want.
not slash, backslash. Look above your return key, your enter key on your keyboard.
It's not doing anything.
Command slash, that's the slash. It's by the shift key.
I think I need to reboot.
That's text expander.
I think I need to reboot.
All
right. So I have something to look forward to after the show. It's very exciting. What got us on this particular tangent was you saying that it does universal, what'd you call it?
Universal autofill.
Universal autofill. So theoretically, once I have rebooted, which I'm not going to do now.
No, you are not.
Apple menu. I will also be able to do this.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. So you can do this after the show.
After the show. Right.
After the show.
Is the show over?
Not until you play the magic guitar licks from Ricky.
So the funny thing is, we've had a sort of universal autofill. I think it's a little kludgy on iOS. It's a little kludgy. It's getting better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And the fact that we can now set 1Password as the default for password management on iOS.
That helps.
That helps a lot. Yeah.
Right. But we've been missing that functionality on the Mac until yesterday with this Electron version of 1Password 8. And that is fantastic. I have a question, though. Mm-hmm. Have you ever experienced that thing where 1Password would overlap with the keychain pop-up dialog if you're using both?
I do use both, and no, I have not had that happen.
You've never had that happen?
I've consistently had 1Password just be the boss and do its thing.
Even though you had keychain active?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I found a ton of people complaining about this, and AgileBits' response has always been, you're going to have to disable keychain to have it not overlap. Because what the behavior that I've been experiencing from the get-go, and this was both on my iMac and then on my M1 Mac Studio up until maybe up until I installed 1Password 8 just now, was that the keychain pop-up window would be right in front of the 1Password pop-up window. They would completely overlap. And you're saying that you do not experience that?
No, I've never had that problem.
Huh. All right. I'm curious, listeners, if you've had that experience, let me know. And did it ever go away for you? It's really, I mean, I found a lot of people complaining about this, and I found AgileBits response in every place where AgileBits would have responded. Their response has been, well, you're going to have to turn off keychain. I haven't had anyone say that this is, and you're not on an M1 Mac either, are you?
Correct. I'm on an Intel. I have a 2019 MacBook Pro.
I see. Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
And I do have keychain active because there are certain things where I want keychain to just be there to do its thing. You know, like if I'm logging into networks, where I just wanted to auto log in, well, that's what you use keychain for. And if I'm logging into stuff through my web browser, well, that's what I want 1Password for.
Right.
So they both coexist. And yeah, I've never had the problem with keychain popping up and getting in the way.
Huh. Actually, it would be, well, yeah. Interesting. All right, hey, let's take a second out and let's talk about our sponsor, Collide.
Cool.
All right, so here's the deal. Collide sends employees important, timely, and relevant security recommendations for their Linux, Mac, and Windows devices right inside Slack. Collide is perfect for organizations that care deeply about compliance and security, but don't want to get there by locking down devices to the point where they become unusable. Instead of frustrating your employees, Collide educates them about security and device management while directing them to fix important problems. You can visit collide.com/ACM to sign up today. That's KOLIDE.com/ACM. and then enter your email when prompted to receive your free Collide gift bundle after trial activation. At Collide, they know that end users are IT admins' most significant and untapped resources, and that they're key to solving the most challenging to fix security issues, including, for instance, instructing developers to set passphrases on unencrypted SSH keys, super important, finding plain text two-factor backup codes, and teaching end users how to store them securely, and convincing employees to uninstall evil browser extensions that may sell their browser history. These are just some of the many use cases not solved by locking down devices. You can try Collide with all its features on an unlimited number of devices for free for 14 days with no credit card required. And you can try it out at collide.com/ACM. One more time, that's KOLIDE.com/ACM. And we appreciate them sponsoring this week's episode of The Context Machine.
Yeah, thanks, Collide.
Yeah, thanks very much. We appreciate that. Definitely check them out. All righty. So here's the thing. Do we want to talk more about 1Password, or do we want to dive into that other thing?
Okay, I do have one other thing to say about 1Password.
Okay, I'm kind of thinking we might end up coming up with some other things, but go ahead.
Oh, we might. I'm genuinely happy with 1Password 8. It was... a fresh interface that I feel looks more Mac-like. It is integrating transparently, seamlessly, every place it needs to, and it's giving me more features than I had before. And based on my experiences so far, I don't care that the platform they wrote it in is Electron. All I care about is that it's working great for me, and I'm happy with this update.
Yeah, the interface is quite pleasant. The interface is an improvement over 1Password 7, and it's not that I had complaints about 1Password 7. It's just this is lovely. it's pretty.
Yeah, it feels fresh while staying familiar.
Yeah, there we go. That's actually well. That almost sounds like marketing speak. That's so good. So all right, here is
Agile, my bill's in the mail.
Here's the thing. Yeah, but the Agile Bits is not sponsoring the show. We would be happy to have them as a sponsor. We both love 1Password.
Oh yeah.
And like I said, we've talked about this software untold numbers of times over the years. But if they want to, hey, we're here. So but they're not. That's my point. I am a subscriber.
So am I.
I don't love software subscriptions. I do love software companies being able to stay open. Seems like a good thing.
Yeah, I'm with you. I get why we have to have subscriptions for software.
Yeah.
The market as it was for software, where you'd buy a perpetual license and then periodically you'd pay an upgrade fee to get the new version. I mean, that was great because if you didn't want to pay, you didn't get the upgrade and it didn't cost you money. So I totally get that. But that's proven to not be sustainable for a lot of companies.
Yeah. It just became increasingly unsustainable, especially once we had the race to the bottom to 99-cent apps on the App Store.
Yeah.
I think accelerated this. And this, by the way, is a turnaround. I want to acknowledge the fact this is a turnaround for me. I used to rant and rail against software subscriptions, and I'm not going to rent my software. I've come to feel differently about it, and there is certainly some software that I am more than willing to rent. 1Password is one of them. And because I mention all this because there was no upgrade fee for me to move to 1Password 8. At the same time, when I would check for new updates in 1Password 7, I was told that my software was up to date. That's why I didn't know.
Right. And I actually thought that was nice the way they did that. So Now, I get logistically why that didn't happen is because 1Password 8 is like a brand new product. But you didn't have anything in 1Password 7 popping up saying, hey, man, you got to update, man.
And, well, I would not. If they had told me yesterday that it was out, I would have upgraded yesterday. And mm-hmm. if that upgrade notification came with a way of saying, I don't want to ever see this again, that would be the best of all worlds. But as it is, I didn't know until you told me.
My guess is that at some point, when you're checking for updates, there'll be something that says, oh, by the way, there's version 8.
Could be.
Click here to get more info.
But it's not yet. And if you have a subscription, then the way for you to upgrade to 1Password 8 would be to download it.
Right. So, yeah, you go to their website, 1Password.com, and then you can download version 8. And if you decide after you've installed it and used it that you'd prefer to go back to 7, there's a path to do that because it doesn't delete 1Password 7 off your computer. It just zips it, so it can't run. But if you unzip it, now you can run it. And since it's taking your database from 7 and then importing it into 8, I haven't tested this because I don't need to. Once you've decompressed 7 and gotten rid of version 8 off your computer, your version 7 database should still be there.
That makes
sense. If you've made any additions, I don't know what happens if now you have databases out of sync or not.
Yeah, I also can't imagine needing to do that. I will note, by the way, that you need your account password handy. So what I experienced, for instance, this may be a little heads up for folks, is I had 1Password 7 running. It was actually unlocked. I downloaded 1Password 8, ran the installer. Without me realizing it, it, as Jeff described, put 1Password 7 into a zip file, shut it down, put it in a mm-hmm. zip file, opened up 1Password 8, and then asked me to log in. And I don't have my password. So I did have, of course, right. my password on my iOS devices, which is fine and dandy. But you should make sure that you have your password handy so that you don't get stuck not being able to upgrade or having to reopen 1Password 7.
Yep. Good call. Yep. And just to be clear, you know, you have two passwords, one for your account and one for your vault specifically, and so it's asking for that account password, like you said.
Right. Do you know if there are any new features, any like one of the things that 1Password will do is check the domains of the passwords, any logins that you have for compromised sites? I'm looking at you, Target. And it'll tell you, it'll give you a list of all of the sites that have been compromised so that you can go and change your password. It's a fantastic thing, but it is a little manual intensive. It's labor intensive.
Okay. So you're talking about Watchtower.
Yes.
Okay. So I gather you haven't clicked on Watchtower in version 8 yet.
I have not.
Do it right now
because
I want to hear your reaction.
Oh, sweet. Look at this. I'm right in the middle. I'm good. My score is 556. About where my credit score was a couple of years ago. I'm getting flashbacks. Gotta go pay off a credit card. Get alerts for any security issues that affect you. Your score gives an overall idea of how safe your data is. So I'm good, but I could be better. I'm getting a warning that I've got 17 compromised websites.
Yeah.
69 reused passwords. I happen to know that that's not exactly true. That's more like duplicate entries for the same thing.
Yeah. I have quite a few duplicate entries that I need to take care of too.
Yep. And I somehow have 89 weak passwords, and those are probably many years old for accounts I don't use anymore.
Yeah, I have 116 inactive two-factor authentication sites, which is not correct because I started using Authy before 1Password had the 2FA feature built in. Mm-hmm. And so I just keep those separate. So it doesn't know that I have tons of 2FA configurations in Authy.
That makes sense.
I mean, but this is great. I mean, like compromised websites. All right, which ones are they? And
this interface for the compromised websites is, it's still going to make you do the work. It has to make you do the work. But this looks less onerous. I don't know if it's because maybe I already changed a bunch. I only had 17.
Brian, it makes you do the work, but only in that you have to click on the site in the list, or excuse me, you have to click on the site. Wow. You have to click on the login in the list of logins. And then you get a big thing where you can just click the button, change password on website.
Change password on website is going to take you right to where you need. Oh, look at that. Mm-hmm. That is super slick. Now I'm lucky. Most of my logins here are like, there's some Atomic Love Bomb stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just going back to 2010. Turns out I'm not in the Atomic Love Bombs anymore. Anyway, so I'm pretty lucky here, but this looks way easier. This looks like an improvement, an evolutionary improvement on the way Watchtower works. And I love this is good.
Yeah, it's really nice. And, now that you're in that view at the top of the list of logins, it has a big, I guess, purple button that says compromised websites. Yeah. Click on that.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's actually a pop-up. So now you can switch between any of the different security issues that you have. So you can see all your vulnerable passwords, reused, weak, right, all that stuff.
Right. This is a huge service that 1Password is doing for us, especially this compromised website stuff. Now, Keychain is also supposed to let you know if you have a login on a site that's been compromised. I don't remember ever getting any kind of Keychain alert for that, ever.
I never have.
Huh. Yeah. All right. Huh. Yeah. Good stuff. I'm going to call this good stuff, man. If I did know it was built in Electron, I wouldn't have known. And I just would have been excited in the story.
Yeah, there you go. I'm with you. I'm very happy with what's happening in 1Password 8. And granted, I went into it with an open mind, but at the same time, I was fully prepared to go and find a different solution for managing my passwords. Ooh. If I felt like the Electron interface just wasn't doing it for me.
Sure.
And when I say Electron interface, I mean the 1Password 8 interface as developed through the Electron platform, because you don't look at this and at least I don't look at it and say, oh, this must have been written with Electron. And this certainly isn't the only app on my Mac that uses Electron as the developing tool.
Is it out for iOS and iPadOS?
Version 8 for iOS is not out, but that's okay. Your database still syncs correctly, so that's not a problem.
Sure does. I wonder. That's interesting that they didn't put that one out yet.
Well, they didn't need to, because here's the big thing. They needed to have everything up matching across their desktop platforms, and they didn't have that. So that became a priority. At least that's my assumption based on
how that makes sense. You're talking about Windows, Linux, and Mac OS.
Right. And, since 1Password isn't just one-off thing for Mac users. You know, this is a corporate tool now.
Right.
They had a need to make sure that they were coding something that served their user base overall, but then was something that they could also support and manage from a developer standpoint, and this also gives them the ability to pool resources together from their developer team. So instead of having to split everyone up and say, you people are working on Mac, you're working on Linux, you're working on Windows, they're all working together on the one thing. So I'm assuming that makes the whole process more efficient for the developer team, also for the support team.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm with you there. All right, go, if you're a 1Password user, go get it. If you are 1Password 8, that is. And if you are new to password managers, please use a password manager. Again, we recommend 1Password 8. I'm speaking for you, Jeff. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, because it's true. I'm very happy with 1Password 8.
So we recommend 1Password, and we also recommend this update to 1Password 8. It's super slick. You can stick with 1Password 7 if you prefer. But one way or another, please start using a password manager. And as we often say, if you are listening to this show, you probably have people who turn to you for tech advice and tech help.
Mm-hmm.
And those people in particular need to start using a password manager, because they're probably the folks who are turning to you for help seem to me to be most likely to be using Monkey123 on like every site or something.
And they have it written on a post-it note on their display.
What, you know what? That's not as bad as using the same password everywhere in the first place.
That's true.
At least the post-it note requires access to your home and access to your, to wherever you have your computer. When you're reusing the same password everywhere, what happens is that it's compromised in one place, it gets sold, traded, and eventually just posted to the dark web, where the bad guys then try to plug in those passwords everywhere they can. So everywhere where you've used that password that was compromised at this other site, now all of these other sites are compromised for you personally, even though those mm-hmm. websites were not compromised. Just your account is compromised.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, anyway, if you have people that turn to you for tech advice, if you can get them using a password manager and you can show them how to use it so that it's not confusing and intimidating, and so that they can realize how easy it is to have long, complex, and unique passwords everywhere they go, you would be doing them a huge favor. You'd be doing all of us a huge favor, but you'd be doing these people that you care about a huge favor. Would be a huge gift.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, as long as we're talking about tech support and troubleshooting, that kind of stuff, I need to share my install experience so that if people need to troubleshoot, I've saved them the time, hopefully. So what happened for me when I went to do my install, it didn't go like it did for you. For you, I mean, you downloaded the installer, you launched it, it did its thing, and you were just up and running.
Uh-huh.
And at least I'm assuming that's what happened, because
you were
I was listening and you didn't ask me what to do.
Hey, Jeff, what do I do now?
Yeah, you don't click restart, not yet. What happened for me... I appreciate the effort you're putting forth. I really do. Okay. What happened for me was I launched the installer and there's a dialogue that comes up and says, don't quit the app because we're importing your database. And it just stalled. So I tried again. It just stalled. But the thing is, it wasn't telling me that there was a problem. It just sat there. And the first time, you know, I thought, geez, this is a slow process. And I waited about 10 minutes. And then I thought, it's not a slow process. It's a dead process right now. And ultimately, what I had to do to get the installer to work for me was unmount all of my external drives. And now in the process of doing that, because I pulled out the cable that connects everything together, it's a dock, that meant I didn't have any peripherals connected to my computer either. So I don't know if it was the combination of all of that or just getting rid of my external drives that allowed the installer to work the way it was supposed to. So anyhow, if it stalls, just try disconnecting everything and run the installer again and see what happens.
Yeah, it might be checking. And, like, if you, because I didn't have any external drives connected when I ran this. So it might have been less stalled and more like checking over that, looking for stuff on that other hard drive too.
Well, and in my case, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, five hard drives and an NAS that it could have been potentially looking at.
Yeah. Yeah. So it may not have been crashed.
Right. But I mean, regardless, it was taking long enough that it sure seemed like nothing was happening.
Sure.
So
all right, that's without good advice.
Anything. Yeah. So, you know, maybe if you're concerned that it might stall out on you, just like disconnect everything and then run the installer.
That makes sense, man. Good advice. I appreciate your help with me today, too. Or, you know, must be Wednesday.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I've got your back.
You always have my back, man. You're the best. Okay, Jeff, check this out. That is this week's Context Machine. Oh, my script is gone. If you have anything to add or question, I closed the script. That's so ridiculous. If you have anything to add or question, I'm gonna one of these days, I'm gonna have this podcasting thing nailed. Just anytime now.
Top men.
Yeah, right. If you have anything to add, comment on or question, you can write us over at thecontextmachine.io. I'm going to have to change that line too. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for this show. We would like to thank Collide. And remember that you can visit collide.com/ACM to sign up today. It's KOLIDE.com/ACM. We very much appreciate them sponsoring the show. I guess that's it, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we got through all of it, even without you having a script for the end. So well done.
I had one. I just didn't really have access to it.
Top man.
Yeah. Weekend, week out.